Transportation Advisory Committee Restructuring Proposal. Mr. Strophas.
Yes.
Or so Mr. Preston, or whoever's doing it.
That's me. Since our last meeting, which was last fall, we haven't met since then, because it was evident to me, and this is obviously one commissioner's perspective, that we were having some challenges as it comes to our purpose, our direction, what are we asking the board members. Then it also occurred to me that we had some, inequity. We weren't representing. My concern was if we did not restructure the way we had the advisors, we could be putting city against city and things like that from a project ranking and all that. So what I took the opportunity to do, which I think all you guys had the same opportunity, was to look at what the structure was or lack of the structure, take what we learned in those two official meetings and the third one we didn't even have a quorum in, and come up with a plan if we're going to be serious about it or not. Obviously, we all got those same letters of all the cities encouraging us to form a transportation plan or transportation advisory group. And so what I did was backed up, regrouped. I analyzed Missouri Department of Transportation MoDOT's rules. I also looked at Michigan's. I looked at Arizona's. And that's where I got most of my data from how their advisory groups, how they help a region or a county, or how do counties function. So I looked at all those three states and came up with some methodology. And so what I did is I took this information and presented it to my key people in the west side to get their input, the Rick Ziegenfuss, the Dean Krutoffs, the David Millers, to see if I was going down the right path. And so I had been working on this since basically September of last year. And then, obviously, the Partners in Progress meeting, Mayor Rayanne brought up something, Rick Ziegenfuss brought up something, and I thought that it was time for me to go ahead and come forward with my recommendations because, quite frankly, they've been in limbo wanting to know what we're going to do. And so, anyway, what I've got is multiple documents, and I was going to go one page at a time. I can bore you with all what my plan, but I would like to do is just talk about an overview first and then explain it because it's a little bit different. Go ahead. A little different of than our normal thought thinking process, but some of it's right on the same stuff. So once again, my plan is this, is to come up with the short and long range planning concerning new road infrastructure, taking consideration both current population and projected growth in Taney County. At least that was my basically mission statement of this whole thing. The Transportation County Advisory Board would consist of members with transportation experience. So we would have a seven-member group board that would have transportation experience, such as a David Miller would serve possibly, a Rick Ziegenfuss would serve, a Buddy Roberts could possibly serve, since they all have transportation planning experience. Each member would serve four-year terms. And a maximum of three terms, so no more than 12 years. It's my thought is that eventually we need to be able to rotate some people in and out to get fresher ideas. The first districts 1, 2, and 3 would be serve a two-year term. The other one serve a four-year term. That way we're not all seven coming off the board at the same years. So that's why I split 3 1 year, 4 the other 2 years. So
when you say districts, sir, are you talking about townships?
Or nope, I'll explain what I'm talking about.
Excuse me, thank you.
No problem. So that's the structure of it. So the goal was equal representation throughout the entire county. So how do we get representation equally? And so I'll explain it. I also came through MoDOT and other entities. How do we come up with a formula model that takes into considerations that are all important to the commission? I mean, talking in road and bridge meetings, transportation meetings, and conversations we've had, there's a group of things that are important to us that we need to make sure that we take into consideration. And my biggest concern was, as I started this process, how do we do it objectively and it doesn't become a pet project, but it actually makes sense to put on the project? So I'll discuss the formula model. Only cost estimates for projects that hit the three-year plan would actually get costing estimates. Until then, they would just be a project. And the reason I went that direction with my thought thinking is, if we always put dollar figure first, we may not look at what's the best thing for the county or the safest thing for the county if we're always looking at the dollar figure. Now, of course, we have to be reasonable, but if the number one issue is improving Highway 160 to Forsyth, and we say that unequivocally that is the most important thing, then as a county commission with the formula method, then we'll say, okay, how do we do this in bite size, like Rick Ziegenfuss does said, do the intersections first, then we start connecting the dots. So the only way to really address this is into a situation where we've got to have the plan on a paper and get a formula so that it's not east against west or north against south, but what's best for the entire county. The county will be divided into 7 equal districts. What I realized was that every parcel owner normally has 2 vehicles. Now, a parcel may be 40 acres, maybe 160 acres, but it may be a condo. But most parcel owners all own at least 1 vehicle, if not 2 vehicles. It doesn't matter the size of the parcel, it's usually that many vehicles. And ultimately, for instance, this is a transportation plan, my thoughts were that if we always stayed focused to the transportation, that kind of helps balance out where the needs are. So if we're always looking at the transportation side, not east, west, north, south, but vehicle travel, we could then get a better idea of where the needs are versus we got more population over here. Well, some population doesn't have vehicles. And so the only way that I thought was a way to be objective would be divide the county into 7 districts equally, which comes up to 6,630 parcels per district. Okay? It also, and I'll show you my map in just a second. I had that drawn up also. So each district board member will be responsible for proposing their top 7 projects. Okay? So similar to what we do at the regional level with the SMICOG, each region has their own projects. Each district would have their own 7 best projects. We would obviously help them from a road and bridge would help them, commissioners would help them, because these districts don't line up with east-west corridor or east-west districting. It overlaps based off the parcel. So what I'm saying is each district would have 7 projects that are the most important 7 projects for them. What was that all about? Hold on 1 second here. I don't know what that was. Excuse me. Okay. Who knows? Okay. So why 7, not 8, not 10? 7, just because ultimately that gets 49 total in a plan. So ultimately what my thoughts were, this exercise gets us a 10-year plan, a 5-year plan, and a 3-year plan all at the same time. If you're following me correct. So on the 10-year plan, all 7 projects from each district would be on the plan, would be on the list, which get us the top 49 projects of the county. That's the logic there. Then because we're ranking them by a formula method, we would get a number with each plan. The next thing would, out of that, to get a 5-year plan, we would take the top 3 projects. So out of those 7, the top 3 scoring the highest would those 3 times the 7 districts would be 21 projects. So at that point, we'd have a 5-year plan. And then consequently, to get a 3-year plan, we would have the top 2 projects from each district. And then we would go through the formula method, and then the board members would all score it, and we'd have a ranking of a number, so that it would be that way we could get a stack ranking of what the most important project was by various criteria. Okay, so that's the thinking, the methodology. So with the Transportation Advisory Board, we're also getting a long-range transportation plan put into place. Any questions yet? Keep on going.
On your there at your 10-year plan where you got 49 projects. You may not have 49 because some districts may have the same project.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Maximum 49, though.
Maximum.
Yep.
Oops.
Okay, so what the commission does is that we're going to commit to find funding for the projects in order they are ranked. So whatever, when I say commit, I'm not saying we're committing to funding them. We're committed to finding the funding. So if number one on this list is a road that we didn't think, but if it's number one that goes through this entire process, we as a commission are committed to go and try and find funding for that. Now, the other thing I wanted to throw in there, if special funding comes available, it will be pursued. You know, if there's special grants like Boys Camp Road that we didn't, that was important, but it wasn't a top three, but, you know, we had money that came in, we need to look at that at that time. But what this does is it changes the focus to just dollar figures, but what is the true needs of this board that's coming up with the county. But that keeps us focused to, we've got basically 14 projects, the top two, that we're trying to find funding all the time. And that's where we're focusing our energy. If we start getting a surplus back in Road and Bridge, and our Road and Bridge crew has some time on their hands, or they can carve time, they might be able to do part of the project and help it progress, if that makes sense, just to make sure our projects are progressing. The list of recommended projects should only include projects that are estimated at $250,000 or higher. What I've found out that if it's under $250,000, we have, in the past 2 years and in other years, we have come up with funds somehow, spread it over 2 years, and we can come up with a project under $200,000 usually, and it's not a major capital improvement. Our major projects have been, you know, the Casey Roads, where it's been $2 million plus. The Acacia Club, when it flooded out, we still spent a significant amount of money on it. So that's what, of course, it's not all about money, but we're not looking for adding a turn lane to BB and that's it. I mean, the whole Coon Creek project was more than $250,000 because it was encompassing more than just a turn lane or not a turn lane. So the focus of this, of the board, is for new road solutions or roads that need to be expanded. We're not talking about a maintenance program. Road and Bridge still needs to maintain its maintenance program. That's his job. He's supposed to get his hands, he's getting his handle on the what cost to maintain a road. These are roads that are for new roads or expanded current roads. That way we don't get into the maintenance. We don't tell them when to overlay a road. But if we need to expand a road, then or to build a new road, that's what this focus of this group is on. At least, once again, it's my thinking through here. Although costs and funding are always in the forefront of our thinking, your main objective is to focus on what is best for the future of the county. We're trying to get ahead of the curve. We know where growth areas are, and that needs to be in the discussions, obviously. And then, of course, all roads need to be recommended, must be feasible in concept. What I don't want to get into a situation where Stone County has, they paid an engineer, and some engineer drew some lines on paper that physically you can't feasibly build a road on the side of a mountain. And that's not what we want. We need to have some realistic thinking through this whole process. So that is the methodology, the overview of the thought process is. Okay? I think my next slide gets into the what I've got is an 11-page document I'll give you guys to review. But what I wanted to talk about is, and this is not perfect by any means. I've been working on it, like I said, but there's still some stuff in here that are not all perfect. But anyway, but what I can talk about is, what are we trying to accomplish? And the reason this is important, because it's tied into the formula that I'll go through with you guys. I think that's more important of how we rank projects than maybe talk about the districts themselves. Safety is first and foremost. We always want to talk about safety. Every Department of Transportation, safety was a big factor. No state weighed safety more than 40% of the decision-making process. No state did that. But 30 to 40% was, on average, what they weighed safety into the factors. So when you're looking at a project, safety was 30 to 40% of the project, of the consideration, but it wasn't the number one. It wasn't 50%. It was just a factor. Taking care of the existing system, making sure, this does not mean maintenance, but this means making sure that we're expanding the system, that we don't build a road that doesn't do anything except it's a lone road that actually doesn't tie into the system itself. So, and there's the factors on that: living congestion, access to opportunity. We got to make sure that as we build up, as this group looks at roads, we're also taking into consideration economic development. We have a new airport. Are we looking at any roads that would help the development of that? Because that, the more successful the airport is, obviously, the more economic development. If it's the east-west corridor, if it's 160, if it's Fall Creek Road because it's relieving congestion, all those things have to be a consideration. We also wanted to make sure we can efficient movement of goods. You know, we are also attracting different industries. So, you know, making sure that we are not just making sure we're only looking for car traffic. We could be looking for rail. We could be looking for carpooling, eventually bus maybe, if there's a shuttle service to the airport, things like that. You know, there's been obviously a multimodal study that was done years ago for Branson area. You know, that needs to be taken into consideration as, you know, what is that, how does that play in the factor? Bicycle traffic, you know, if that's an issue. Once again, efficient movement of goods, it doesn't weigh as much, but it is a factor. You know, when I talk about weight of the project. Economic competitiveness, we just want to make sure we're all competing against a finite amount of businesses and trying to attract business, and we got to make sure we take that in consideration. And of course, protecting the environment, because we enjoy the Ozarks because of the trees and the mountains, and we don't want to shave off every mountaintop and strip every hill. So I have these handouts for you guys to study that. That's a lot to digest. It goes into great detail of what we look in the physical systems and functional needs of the system. Throughout this, you're going to see the initials TCTAB, Taney County Transportation Advisory Board. So just to let you know what that means. That's the name of this board, is what I labeled it, just because they're advising us on transportation. Let me get down to the bot back here so I can talk about, once again, toward the end here. Okay. So this is, I also kept, through this whole process, kept as many similar terms that MoDOT uses as possible. Part of what I went through also is when the high road came out as number one in that list, I wanted to know why it came out. So I went and talked to, you know, Pete Rowan. I went and talked to Jay Wunderlich at the Government Affairs. I went and talked to Brian Wheeler, who is the alternative transportation for MoDOT. I wanted to know what their process was to make sure that I understood how this happened, because in our eyes, it shouldn't have been there. It may be a top five, a top ten, but not a number one. And it was because at a county level, we don't do any planning to speak of. So they rely on SMACOG to do all our planning. If this was in place, this could help give SMACOG or David Miller and Buddy Roberts some insight on what we're thinking so that they can represent the right roads. And so that's part of the process, is that using the similar terms, MoDOT then knows what we're talking about, and there's no confusion of terminology. And that was real important to Rick Ziegenfuss, who's been quite successful in MoDOT, was make sure whenever we can use the same terminology they use, because it helps them understand our project, our reasoning. So the weight, I will show you this on a different spreadsheet, so what that means, but safety was a factor. Obviously, quality of communities, the access to opportunity, congestion relief, economic competitiveness, environmental protection. On the safety index, and I'll go over to that slide right now, the safety index, that really is not a subjective thing, which is great. It is hard numbers that MoDOT pulled together, Arizona pulled together, which was accident ratios, if there was a fatality, if there's injury accidents, how many of them, how with the frequency, all those hard numbers are plugged into this little spreadsheet, and that gives us a number. There is still some, I keep on using subjective, there is some things that if you just like the project, you can score it a little higher because it's your project from your district, but more importantly, it's watered down so that it really can't get into a my favorite project just because. It's more of a hard numbers scenario. Let me go over to my spreadsheet here. That's not it. That's Frank's spreadsheet, scoring sheet. Wow, it's big. Let me see if I can't make this. Wow. We'll see what happens here. We'll go. and made this up a little more. Nope. We're going to shrink it in here. Can you guys see the right? Yeah, you can. Okay, so what this is these are the scoring sheet. And what I did is did a random example of a road to kind of see the process in which you go through it. This is no road in specific, so don't think it is. But I wanted to kind of show you what the factors and what the formula sheet that I came up with kind of looks like. You know, severity index. You know, compares the rate of injury to fatal crashes to the statewide rates. So if we're looking at an intersection, it compares those numbers to the statewide numbers and tells us where this intersection compares to the statewide rates. Really, it's a hard number, really easy to obtain. Accident index. Based on location, show up the annual high accident. So we look at all the accident data, which I think Frank had provided to us at one time. We look at that, we rate that, and so we know where the troubled intersections are or troubled areas are. That gets a scoring number. And then we also look here, based off locations, show up on the annual wet-dry listing. Basically, is weather a factor when, if I'm reading that correctly, if weather's a factor into the accident data? Once again, like Bird Road has been an issue. We've had many complaints saying when it gets damp, people slide off the road. Well, it would take that into consideration. So once again, taking hard numbers and putting an actual number to it. So these numbers all come up and generate this number here. So that number is not. So let me explain this here. On the left side is the maximum amount of points per line item. This is the maximum number of points that a board member would rate a road. So if he has safety concerns of this, whatever this project is, and he says, I just have safety concerns, that's a subjective number. So he could say it's 12 out of a tossable 15, or it's really no safety concern, so he could make that a zero. Anytime you change a number in this area, it's going to change the overall score of the project. Each board member would rate each project. Then you would average those numbers together and we would get a firm number on the project. All right? One thing that is important to point out is, make sure I got this right. Looking for the numbers here I'm looking for. Sorry, gentlemen. Looking for the weight of these projects here. Oh, no, this is down here lower. Okay, so enhanced qualities. Each one of these documents has a definition of each line item there. So you guys say, what is complies with local transportation plans? It's in here. You know, can we put a big lane through a brand? If we identified Branson Hills as needing a major highway, can we even do it because they're, you know, because of their land contracts or whatever, do we have easements to do it? So all those things are taken consideration. Once again, each paragraph, there's a paragraph in here, at least one paragraph of each line item, okay? And then what happens is as you put in these numbers, this is the only number that is not, you can't create that number. That comes out of this score, if that makes sense here. It comes down, spits out a number here at the bottom, and for the example, this project would be rated 77 points out of a possible 100, and so every project would get a score. If I'm explaining myself adequately, and one thing that I wanted to let me shrink this one little time so I can show you this, guys. This is the weight ratio based off of what I saw with those three states that I used my data. Safety was the 30% factor. Congestion relief was the same factor. So 30% of the overall score is safety. Safety is a factor. Congestion relief is the other item. Everything else has some weight in the decision, but you can see not as much. Environmental protection is not as much. Access to opportunity is not as much. Economic competitiveness is a little bit more so. Enhancing the quality of community. So, you know, can a road help a community, a Kerrville, a Rockaway Beach, a Merriam Woods? Those factors are in there and it helps define that. Okay? So anyway, that's what the scoring system explains. It's a little more complicated, but it's more in line with what the states do and the regional planning does. And if we get the right people with the proper direction as a board member, they can do the same thing. It's not a lot of work once they know the process. But that's that. Any questions up to this point?
You mentioned the different places you've looked to for input and whatnot. Southwood, Simcog. Did you visit with Dan Watts? Or
didn't visit with them. Their processes are all posted on the web, so I didn't have to talk to anybody. I just downloaded the process and reviewed it. And okay. MoDOT, I mean, all the states and MACOG or whatever they're called, their stuff is real. Everything's on the web. It's really good to get to, easy to get to.
I visited with Betty Roberts, Mr. Miller. Talked to those people, and as you enter a road into this process, it has to have a number attached. That's very important in evaluation through SimCog. I call it SimCog.
I know it. I don't know what it's called. I know what you're talking about.
But anyway, they want a number attached to the project so that when you say that the east-west corridor was 765, they need a number that relates to a particular road so that when we look through, you can have definitions behind it, connection of 65 to 160, F highway, roundabout to whatever, that's 76, it goes to Merriam Woods, isn't it, or 176.
What's it?
So those areas like that need to have a designated number that they work with, and then when you approach grants and things like that, we also list that number of the project, not only the location or the other things. One thing that Jim, that I think you ought to focus on, and that I didn't see on there, and I've had a little discussion with a few people. Taney County is the only county that I know of that tries to put its business in some of the location. Its road system is designated to shift to Christian County as they progressed before we did on a Super Walmart. So then when we had Stone County had the Walmart over there, well, everything was concentrated in that area. I think that to progress as a community and a county, And I talk about our county as a community because you have to connect it to be so. And I think that we need to focus on centralizing our location either with a corridor completely around the focus area where it contains Forsyth and Hollister and Branson and Merriam Woods and Rockaway, that a road system needs to pertain to that so that people do their transportation needs of shopping and everything like that, which brings in the dollars to build these roads and everything, should be focused. You should have some kind of weight on that.
It's the economic competitiveness, that there's was 15%. The enhancing the communities, that was another 10%. So those two factors is 25% in the decision-making process. Because they're similar, but yet there's some differences there, too, and you want to make sure you cover them. But that my thinking was, if the East-West Corridor would have gone in, there's a lot of cons to the whole thing. And then we've heard a lot of people came out. But some of the pros were the Kirbyville potential expansion of the businesses, the economic drivers in Kirbyville. Well, that, then obviously that can still be a negative for some of the Kirbyville residents. Not everybody wants to grow. But the thing is, I think you're right. If we could develop an infrastructure where the businesses could plan appropriately, saying, well, I know a road's going to come out here eventually, and I know it's on the five-year plan, they can plan and we can recirculate. I think what I hear you saying is recirculating our money within our county versus shuffling up to Christian County.
Yeah.
We have or people, down to Harrison.
We have lots of people that shop at Harrison. Hmm? We have lots of people that shop in Christian County, and those that are on the west side of things focus on the Branson West and opportunities over there. Nothing wrong with that, but to centrally locate in your mind that you want to spend your tax dollars in Taney County,
right,
and to get those people in those locations. Another thing is community development. You know, we heard talk about the Branson Creek project, which is another, probably going to be the second largest municipality in the county.
It has and potential
with,
for sure.
With no transportation system.
Right.
I mean, it's wide open. So when we think about keeping people from going to Harrison, Arkansas from that area, we have to think about getting them away to get to Branson or to Forsyth or
Hollister,
like you said, Hollister, the Kirbyville area, right, wherever, and focus on those things, because we shuffle our dollars somewhere else. Our workforce is here, but they may be shopping elsewhere, and I really think that we have to start considering that, and especially in economic times like right, they are, before you consider any of these projects, we're going to have to make money.
Right.
I think you got a good start to. I like to look at your 3, 5, and 10 year plan. I wouldn't think that it would be out of reason to think about a 20-year plan or a 15 or something.
Well, and the 10 can easily go to 15. Actually, you know, Arizona did 15.
It goes by so fast.
Well, it does. The thing is, funding right now is pretty strained, uh-huh, I would say. To think that we could get all these projects done within 10 is ridiculous. But
oh, yeah. I mean, it's not going to happen, but we at least have a number for.
And that was a question that David Miller brought up, was, do you really think you can get 14 projects done in 3 years? And the answer was no.
Yeah.
But you know, there may be 4 or 5 projects per year that come up with a special funding, because there's so many grants going on that even before the stimulus package, there was grants that we weren't taking advantage of.
We weren't taking advantage.
So, I mean, the thing that we could get maybe 3 to 5 projects done, or focus on 2 projects a year, that would be more than we're focusing now over and above. But I think that the key is, if we had 3 lists, because what it comes down to, you know, someone in Branson won't know the 7 most important projects in Forsyth. That's not their job, you know, and just like vice versa. And so having some responsibility of the board members to find those projects that are important, we basically have heard them. We know most of them. But what that would do is open that avenue. If you live in this area, make sure you contact or come to a board meeting and make sure your rep, your board member is representing your district. Because that helps us. I mean, if we could get 49 projects on a board, we would learn something, I would venture to say. We would know some projects that we didn't know were problem areas. And that's what it is. It's about getting citizen involvement to our process. So that, you know, they are paying road and bridge sales tax, so they need to be some method of participating in that process. Do you want to see the districts how I drew them up, or I actually had a firm help me do this at no cost to the county, so that I could come up with how the districts would lay out? Do you want to see them, or just what?
Yeah.
What are you, okay. All right, hit the button. So, each parcel, each color is 6,630 parcels. So, you can divide it any way you want to. The reason I sort of liked it this way was that 4 parcels touch the East Commissioner, 4 districts touch the East Commissioner, and there's 4 districts that touch the West Commissioner. So, meaning, from a commissioner perspective, we represent 4 districts because we overlap. So it's equal from the commissioner's perspective of, you know, the presiding obviously is over the whole county, but there's 4 districts that you would have, the East Commissioner would have direct responsibility over influence, and there's 4 that for me because we overlap. I liked it from that aspect, from a fairness and from a equality perspective. But once again, each square, each parcel in there, there's an assumption that there's a house and a couple cars there, and that drives the demand for transportation infrastructure. The 1, 2, 3, I realize that's not probably on my proposal. It was District 1 through 3. I wouldn't have it that way, but I'll make that. You know, I said Districts 1, 2, and 3 would only have a 2-year term. I would change that so it would be more fair, because I randomly grabbed 1, 2, 3. So that is the layout of what I've come up with. Obviously, District 3 includes Forsyth, and District 2 includes Kirbyville. District 1 includes Hollister. District 4 includes, I think it's Bull Creek. It's a little fuzzy in this picture here.
Rockaway Beach, Bull Creek, Merriam Woods.
Yeah. Anyway, I have this map I have no problem sharing with you guys, but it seemed, once again, trying to be equal, fair, and everyone gets represented fairly, because quite honestly, District 3 has different needs than District 7, and we know that. And it's best that their own districts represent their own section and then collectively come together, and we rank them by a formula base, and that way it's, once again, trying to be fair. Mm. But this is the best I've got. Came up with was dividing it by parcels. I didn't see any other way to be fair. Because if I'm not mistaken, Danny, you've got your coverage goes to 4, 3, 2, and parts of 1 as your district, commission district, and mine is 5, 6, 7, and 1. So that's, you know, it equals them out pretty fair from that aspect. So my proposal would, you know, once again, and I'm not expecting a vote today, is that you guys review the documents that I've got, you know, give me feedback. I mean, it's a working process. I've done multiple versions of it, so I'm on this is my fourth official revision, after I have meetings with key people in the community that I believe have transportation or who have the best interest of the commission, of the county in mind, and know something about transportation. I've asked those feedback from those people to get me where I'm at right now. It's far from perfect, but it's a restructuring, because I really want people that have transportation experience. I asked David Miller if he would serve. He said he would. Rick Zigapu said he would serve. I think Buddy's already on the board. You know, I think David was already assigned on the board too. David said he'd continue to serve, because that's the experience we need, that expertise, to make this a worthwhile, meaningful meeting. My thoughts were once a month meet. And we just start the process. And when we have a list, we have a list. I mean, the hope is that we can come up with some things sooner versus later. But, you know, I think early in our discussions, 12 to 18 months is not unreasonable to get a pretty good working list. And, you know, going through the process and reading so much, I mean, it's going to be at least 8 or 9 months before we saw a decent list. And when I say a decent list, because I think 1 month we could rank some, and then the next month it could flip-flop, and once all the things settle down, we'll probably see it 6 to 9 months before we see the list settle down pretty good.
Well, they evaluate, they move.
And it's moving all the time.
They're moving all the time, and Simcox is it's so flexible that they even drop, you know,
right,
your top 10 rating may not be even in the top 100,
sure,
after one round. So I understand that.
So anyway, but the whole, once again, we're trying to get people, my thought on the board is people who have transportation knowledge, experience, you know, what I would like you guys to do is review the documents, talk to your constituents that you guys confide in and talk about transportation, get some feedback on it. And if you want to get some of those people back in here and I represent this, that's fine. I'll do that too. My hope is that in the next 30 days we can get this thing ironed out, board members appointed, and start having our first meeting sometime in, I'd like to see a first meeting sometime in June or July. It may have to wait till August, but I don't see why there wouldn't be a reason we couldn't have our first meeting in maybe July. So that was my goal, and then start having regular meetings, because there is a huge interest in the community for us to do something on this. And I know we all, in our own ways, want to do something. So this is my first stab at creating something.
I think you have to do this, Jim, and the thing of it is just exactly what we run into as we approach people on the East-West Corridor. Who said that they wouldn't sell under no conditions who have sold? So you have to have a plan that people are looking at and thinking about for the future, because they may not even consider that they have property that could be part of a transportation system, and that in itself could make a difference. And sometimes it takes people a long time to make up their mind.
Right.
I applaud you for putting this together. Maybe I don't see all of it just exactly the same way you do, but I think that we can work those things out, and I think you've made a solid effort to do something.
Appreciate that. Right.
I think as a county, we have to have something like this. In today's economic times, and even not in today's economic times, it only makes sense that we all, as government entities or agencies, we all know what the other one's doing. I've heard many, many times from MoDOT, the most likely project to get funded regionally is one where several parties are members in putting money into the project or partnering into the project. So regionally, not just MACOG or SIMCOG, whoever, to be on their radar screen, to be on Hollister's and Branson's and Bradleyville's and all the towns, so that everybody knows what everybody else is doing. And if we start handling some of these projects just one at a time, or making a ranking list, and one intersection alone that comes to my mind all the time where I see a lot of congestion is T Highway, where people have to turn there, and that's a safety issue there, like Coon Creek was. Probably not that expensive of a project, but we've talked about it since I've been here as being a problem, but we don't move forward. By going through this process, I think it will force us to move forward. We will look better in everyone else's eyes, MoDOT's, Hollister's, Branson, and the SIMCOG Transportation Group. So I'm excited. I look forward to doing this process. Question on facilitator. Is this something we want to look at, an engineering firm that's done transportation studies before? Part of the problem I experienced last time with the group was initiative or knowing how to move forward when we stalemated a couple times, and it was hard to keep the group moving.
Well, my thoughts for that was the stalemate was because we didn't give him clear direction. I knew in the meetings that we were in, we weren't even clear on the direction we were giving him. Each one of the commissioners had different emphasis and importance, and rightfully so, but we didn't have anything in a direction that we gave him on paper. I think that, you know, the first and foremost, each one of those directors, board members, need to find seven projects in their district. And that alone would start the process that we haven't even got to. You know, before we start ranking, is East West Corridor number 1, 2, 3, or 4, give me your seven projects. And from a facilitator, I would hope that the board itself could have a chairperson that they could actually facilitate. The reason I don't necessarily want to get an engineer involved at this stage would because, first of all, it's a billable thing, or people are going to volunteer services expecting to get a project.
Right.
And what I'd like to see is what's the most important thing that the county sees from a congestion and safety. And then as we get a three-year plan, once we get those three-year plans, then we can start getting in, we talk about engineering resources of a preliminary scope and things like that. Because there may be two or three that are so clearly number one, two, and three, that it makes complete sense that we go ahead and spend a little money on engineering services. But I just don't know how you would do it, because if we had HDR, then would Aegis and Great River be offended? And somebody else, Olson, who from Kansas City, would they be offended? So I think it's laid out such a way, if we get those other professionals, it can move along. Now, of course, I mean, if it stalemates again, then we'll have to look at a different process. But the hope was that the commission doesn't have to babysit the meetings. We can sit through, like the sewer board. We sit through, add input, but not direct the decisions. That's what the... So putting some guidelines in place, I thought may help along this, would help the stalemate from actually occurring. No guarantees, but that's the thinking of my thinking. And each district being responsible for 7 projects, that kind of focuses their attention to their district, which they live, where they live. Did I answer that, Frank?
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Okay, just thinking about some of our projects, you mentioned East-West and mentioned 160. Mm-hmm. Those are big dollar projects. And so, but they will affect a number of districts.
Uh-huh.
And one will affect, you know, maybe 3 or 4 districts, and the other one might affect 3 or 4 districts.
Right.
So... You might come up with, I'm guessing you might come up with those two projects as your high dollar projects.
Mm-hmm.
But you might have, I don't know what you might have, but you might have some other projects that are the $250,000 projects you talked about.
Right.
So, and we talked about back when, like the sewer board, having a $1 million plus and $1 million less group. Did you think you got any of that weaved in there?
That's why I went down to, you know, the top 2 from each district, which is 14 projects. I'm hoping that there'll be some big ones and small ones. I can tell you that at the federal level, Emerson had earmarked $475,000 for one intersection on the 160. And because we didn't have a plan in place, we couldn't get this year's allocation of money. So we're going to skip a year in allocation. But you know, her hope is to, like she did the other projects in her district, one intersection at a time is how she funded that thing and how Roy Blunt said he would help fund it. You know, obviously, earmarks are frozen the rest of this year. But the hope is we're probably going to have a couple big dollar ones in there, but then we're also going to have some smaller ones in there. And the reason I... left that out purposely was, I hope it's not the case, but I have a feeling we're going to have 3 or 4 big ones and the rest are going to be small ones. And if it's not that way, then obviously we'll have to revise what our goals are and maybe have 2 lists. And once again, this document's a work in progress. If we come out and we say, okay, if it's $500,000 or more, it's in one list. But I would just, you know, my thing would be, we still want to rank, each district needs to have the same amount of votes. You know, and 2 projects from each district is really what we've got to stay focused to, at least in that top, that 3-year plan. But yeah, it's hard to say at this point, but that was one thing that one of the people I met with said, what about the dollar figures? And, you know, unless we spend a bunch of engineering money, I don't want to spend engineering money on 49 projects.
I think it's a waste of funding.
Right.
And another thing that I think you have to look at is utility availability for what will get your dollars back quicker than anything else. And, you know, with a new gas line coming in, where's the proposed line on that? They may alter and change it. If you have a road system that's going to be taking in and it's already got sewer and water and things like that in place, that that road system is easily paid for with natural gas utilities and sewer and water. As we try to connect, and I think that's where you're going to have to go is the federal level to get maximum dollars, mm-hmm. and you're going to have to go and you're going to have to use federally funded highways, and we're fortunate to have U.S. 160 and 65 running through our county.
Right.
Tying those two together on the F Highway project or an east-west, or, I mean, talk about north and south.
Right.
We got 65 going north and south, but we could have a road that comes from the airport. If the airport does what everybody wants it to do, you got to have a transportation system to it. And you're going to have it where people can get out and reach the destination that they want to go through. And I, you know, like I said, it's I find it that people seem to be really interested in what happens right to them, and that's and everything else is put to the back burner. But if you can show a future project list that has something that could involve them.
My hope is also that this helps give some direction to the sewer board.
Yeah.
If they know where we're, at least we're thinking about areas, they can, because they do long-range planning too, and we can start using some of the same planning process and communicate the where we see some emphasis. Because right now we don't have that direction we're giving anybody. And so anyway, that's my...
presentation.
That's your 50-cent highlight.
15 minutes of fame, or what?
Yeah, I don't need any more fame. I don't think.
Well, it wasn't said, but I'm taking it that a project in each district would not necessarily be a county road. It would. It could be a county or state road.
Correct.
Or an intersection, or
right.
What state I was intersection or county intersection.
And talking to, I learned a lot last week in D.C. and at some time I'll give a release on it, but matching funds is amazing right now. Even if it's a state road, any help with anything that's a state or federal road, those things go to the top of the list pretty darn fast. You know, and you know, for us to be able to match, put $50,000 toward a state road, say if it was a $300,000 project, they may jump on it and move to number one because, once again, I heard it over and over again, and I had the pleasure of meeting the number three person at DOT, Department of Transportation, and they said any county funds, they made a presentation, any county funds that can be put into the mix, your road project will go up on the ranking list because they're looking for any help to get a project done. And I'll take this time to give a little commercial on Tiger 2. Tiger 2 grant process was announced. It was announced. It's a $600 million grant process. But for the record, it's a little different than Tiger 1. The biggest difference is it's $600 million versus $1.5 billion. They had a total of $62 billion in projects submitted. 20 projects were $100 million or more. In this scenario, the average size project that they're targeting is $3 million or less. I'm in the process of getting back. Every project for Tiger 1 was evaluated, and there is an evaluation score sheet available if you get to the right person. So I happen to get to the right person, so I'll be getting a score sheet on our project to see where it's scored. That will help tell us if we want to submit that again. They did say don't expect a $20 million project. That won't happen. They made it real clear that it's smaller projects because it's a whole lot less money. And of the $600 million, $80 million of it was administrative fees that are not going to be distributed. So only $520 million of the $600 actually is available. Someone's been making a little money on this whole process. At least it's out there. I've got the timelines. Once again, it's very short. We have our first pre-application, if we want to participate, is sometime in July. I've got those dates upstairs. But anyway, it's not like Tiger 1. I can tell you that one senator that I met with has filed a formal investigation about the Tiger 1 process. They're convinced that there is some inappropriate projects that got funded. And the other thing is, remind me, Frank, again, September, when was the project supposed to be done? 18 months from when it was awarded, correct? Mm. So sometime in 2011, some of that money has to come back into the kitty, so there most likely will be a Tiger 3. Mm-hmm. Because I know of two projects in the state of Missouri, the only two, they will not be done in the timeline, and that money will get re-released back into the kitty. So there'll have to be a Tiger 3 because of the unused funds.
There's also a webinar coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
There's a meeting in D.C., but I was wondering if we were interested in watching that webinar here locally or if we should do it regionally.
We can. I mean, I've got the data. Let me get this stuff to you. Obviously, webinars don't cost anything, and you can always learn something from it. But anyway, there's a Tiger 2, so if you guys hear it, it's just not nearly the size, the scope. But there is an investigation going. I know that one of our senators is involved in helping the investigation. because they also felt like Missouri didn't get the fair shake on the deal when it was all said and done. So anyway, that was my little side commercial on Tiger 2. Anyway, gentlemen, what I'd like to do is repost the meeting in a couple weeks, unless you guys want it next week. Gives you time to review, talk to some other citizens, and let's get back and...
I think we're there for a couple of weeks, because I think we're going to have to really talk board members. I mean, we're going to have to look at people that are really interested in board member, being a board member.
I mean, I think we've got three right now, which is good. David, Rick Ziegenfuss, and Buddy. I think those three go without saying that they would... They have all said that they would participate again. Mm-hmm. What I'd like you guys to do is also just make sure you understand, and if you have questions, get them to Nikki Jillian, and I'll answer the questions best I can about what if, and I know this is not perfect, like I said, but I'd like to at least move toward getting something finalized, even if it's imperfect, and at least start the meeting so that we could get something done.
We have to move forward. We have to create a document at the end of this to where when future funding becomes available, we will have gone through a process and have some things prioritized.
So yeah, that's all I had, gentlemen, on this whole thing. I've got copies for you. Okay. And what I'd like to do before we dismiss for the day is go... Take 2 minutes, go talk to Bob, and see if he's got the two answers of the items we tabled. We tabled Southwest Missouri Gas, but we didn't. We rescheduled it for Monday of next week, so that's done. The Malone Finkel is the only thing that he was supposed to be checking on, the grant application from Linda, so that we can potentially vote on that. So if you guys don't mind, a few more
2 minutes. 2 minute recess.
Here's your
copy. Yep. Thanks.